Hey, how long have you been a lawyer and practicing in Jackson County?
So I've been a lawyer for 12 years. I spent 7 years on active duty as a Marine Judge Advocate, serving multiple positions in Yuma, Iraq, and the Pentagon. I've been a practicing attorney in Jackson County for 5 years, so 12 years of total legal time.
You know, I've got an awkward question for you, and I'm hoping I express it right, because I think the judgeships have changed in a way, and this is something that Brockton Lockwood and I used to talk a lot about. That, you know, used to, as you come in, you broke the law, you got a speeding ticket, you stop, so you don't have insurance for your car, right? This long list of things that at the circuit court judge level you have to deal with. But there's been, I think, kind of a change when it comes to judges in the system, is because now you see a certain percentage of those cases involve social issues. And when you see young kids getting involved with drugs, and you know it's early in their life, and diversion programs, as Brockton Lockwood, but it seems like judges are not just dealing with broken laws that have been broken, but a broken culture.
Yeah. No, and I think that, you know, one of the great things that has happened the last 20 years, 30 years, is this real push for continuing education, not only for attorneys, but also judges as a whole. And I think, if you're serious about a profession, you're serious about these communities we serve, you're going to look at the data. And you're going to look at continually asking yourself, what can we do better? And I think that that's just been kind of the outcome of that, where we look at these things and say, look, these things aren't working. We've got to do better. Does it make sense to, under these facts, to basically ruin a kid who did something stupid at 18 and 19 for the rest of his life? And I think more judges are taking that into consideration based on the data that's being provided by a lot of really good organizations that are trying to make a difference.
While at the same time knowing that recidivism is one of the biggest problems we have within the system.
Right. And normally once I think these issues get in front of a judge, I mean, this wasn't like it happened the day before. I mean, this has been a systemic failure of serving these folks that are in need and these families. And, you know, I think a lot of times the judges are in a position where they're going to do what they can based on the law that's in front of them. But unfortunately, I think it's probably a very frustrating process because usually if it's at that point, you got to wonder what you can do. I mean, it's a difficult situation, especially with the poverty in Southern Illinois and Jackson County, the median income. I mean, all those things work against a lot of people that are just trying to make it.
And you have to come to terms with fact. And there's no doubt about this fact. More is expected of you, not just on the bench, but in your life and the way you conduct yourself in general. I mean, you can look at this West Virginia Supreme Court story, impeaching, I think, four of them, because they, one, renovated office $363,000, another $500,000.
Sure.
There's more expected of you.
No, absolutely. And you know, and that's why this is such a critical position, because you don't hear about when judges do well. You know, you're expected to do well. You're expected to be the standard. It's not unlike Marine officers. You know, I was a Marine officer. I've been one for, gosh, it'll be 15 years December, 7 years on active duty, and that's the same thing. You're a Marine 24/7, and the same thing applies to judges, because, you know, no one talks about on Marine Corps Times or the Washington Post when a Marine officer does what they're supposed to do, which is uphold a higher standard. But they're all over it when a Marine officer kicks it into the stands. And I think the office of judge and the bench is a very similar parallel.
When you go door-to-door knocking for this position and introducing yourself so they get a face, they get a name, they get an impression at the very least, what do people ask you about? What do they want to know about?
Well, they want to know where I've been and what I've done and why I think that I'd be a good judge. You know, when I first started, when I first started this campaign, I was soliciting, or I was getting petitions signed. A gentleman out of the blue goes, "Well, what tough decisions have you had to make?" And I didn't have a prepared answer. And so it was a really good exercise. Because, yeah, I should have that answer, right? I mean,
right.
These are tough decisions. There's no one that you can pass that off to. You can't pass the buck to anybody on the bench. And so that was a good exercise. And so we talk about where I've been and what I've been trusted with. You know, I've prosecuted felony-level cases. I've defended the constitutional rights of Marines in felony-level cases. I've given advice and legal opinions and to commanders all over the world and to the Secretary of the Navy and to the Commandant of the Marine Corps. And I think those are the things, in addition to the last 5 years serving farm families, being trusted with their matters, their issues of businesses and municipalities. Those are things I can point to say, This is why I'm qualified for this position.
Much of my life, I grew up, I was afraid of judges. I literally tell you, was afraid of judges. And with good reason, on more than one. But fortunately, I developed friendships, and I found out, wow, oh my, there's a human being in those black robes.
Sure.
And you know what's interesting is more and more, and I've read over the years, and you think, letter of the law, but there is a little less than there once used to be because of mandated sentencing, but there is room, literally written into the kind of rules, the guidance for judge, that you are supposed to be able to use that humanity. It's not just about the letter of law. You are given that. You are given that leeway.
Right, and we don't want a system where there's basically a computer program or an algorithm deciding what's going to happen in a particular case, especially with respect to sentencing. And I think that outside of the federal sentencing guidelines, you've seen most states push back against that and most Supreme Courts. So,
yeah.
No, I think it's huge, and I think it's important to have a sense of the pulse of your community by being involved. Now, there's limits, of course, of what you can be involved with under our judicial canon and ethics, but I think you need somebody that lives within the community and that serves the community and knows the community, because that's imperative, to make a to make a good decision from the bench.
And you see the president, I think it was either Friday, Monday, was doing, look at the judicial system, ways we can help get people another chance, get them back in after they've been in prison into society. While at the same time, you have Senator Elizabeth Warren, who just said the criminal justice system is racist front to back. I would probably be willing to debate that issue.
No, and I think a lot of people would be willing to debate. I mean, there are everyone has taken positions all across the spectrum, but it's an interesting debate, and I'm glad that it's one that we're having, because I think the question always has to be, how can we do this better?
How can we do this better?
Well, I think it starts first and foremost with the community. If you don't really care about the circumstances and the plight of your neighbor, we've got a problem. If you're not willing to get your hands dirty and invest in your neighbor, I'm not sure anything mandated from high is going to make much of an impact in moving the needle. But I think that's where it starts. I mean, there are all kinds of ways that people can serve this community, whether it's with CASA, whether it's coaching, whether it's any of those things, to be involved and just be a part of it. It's very, very easy to cast stones sitting in the safety of your given little circle. I think that our neighbors are worth investing in.
And one of the things that I find struggling is, right, I am not a lawyer, although I often play one on the radio, right? And I get that feeling,
right.
You're not a lawyer, shut up, you just went out for lunch with one, you didn't pass the bar. But at the same time, I see things come down the pipe, and I'm going, it's very clear. This is clear to me with the letter of the law, Second Amendment, Supreme Court. You come right down to this, we have some very clear delineation of Supreme Court, state of Illinois, whether this will work when it comes to pension savings. And we're looking at the Constitution going, no, it won't work. Can you read? I mean, those type of things confuse me, that we take a year and a half to make a decision on something that seems to be so obvious. How did that happen?
Well, it happens because, arguably by design, this is a system that's intended to move slow, because we don't want knee-jerk reactions, and we want to make sure that these are well-debated and well-reasoned and discussed issues and changes in policy. So to the extent they impact the law, it's the process that has been established, and it's very difficult once we establish these standards as far as due process is concerned for any issue to dial that back a little bit, because for instance, with the Supreme Court in Illinois with the pension matter, that's a process that takes a long time by design, and there's really no changing that at this point.
Right, it's a safety mechanism.
That was an interesting case,
yeah.
And I've read a couple of law review articles on it, and it's an interesting discussion.
Well, it is one of the items. This is you've got a position, you've got the state's attorney here, you've got the sheriff, you've got other appeals courts, that there's a system here, and then the pieces of the system all have to work together. Stephen Bost, he is the candidate, resident circuit judge candidate, you'll see in Jackson County on the ballot coming up in November. Final thoughts this morning when it comes to, if somebody, this is the last time somebody gets a chance to hear you before they go, hopefully not, but in the November polling, what would you say?
No, I'd say take a look at what I got on Facebook. Look at my LinkedIn background. Look where I've been. And I don't think you're going to find anybody that has more diverse experience with more interesting and difficult issues. And just the, what I've been trusted with over the last 12 years. Take a look at my background and what I've invested and what's important to me. And I think you'll have a very good sense of who I will be from the bench.
You know, one of the things that I've been watching and speaking with judges that I've developed relationships with is their workload increase since meth. What that has meant, I think maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, we were about to run ourselves ragged trying to deal with all the meth cases coming into the system.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I think that that's another issue where there's been great continuing education. There was just a forum posted by SIU Law this year that talked about opioid addiction, which is tied in a lot with the meth addiction. And it's going to give lawyers and judges, hopefully, the resources and social workers to try to tackle this problem. But it's huge. I mean, everyone you talk to, every community I've knocked doors in, they say, this house is where it's been, or this is the problem I've seen with it.
Yeah.
So it's a pandemic, and, you know, I know that there are a lot of dedicated judges and attorneys that are working on solutions to meet these problems.